Genesis 16. You know that song that's just been played? That's really my prayer, that I will work till the Lord comes. And I was really hoping that this day would never come. I was really praying that I'd be with the Lord, that I wouldn't have to come and preach at the mission conference. I get nervous. You know, I'm not used to preaching from a pulpit. But I thank the Lord for His grace that He gives to everyone that steps out to do a work for the Lord. I never even thought that I would even preach in the streets. And yet, as time has gone by, the Lord has given me a lot of grace.
Amen.
To get in front of people and preach. And I even look forward to having a big crowd when I preach. I love it. But it's the Lord's grace that He's given me. It's not because anything in me or that I feel that I'm good, but it's the Lord that gives you that peace and that desire to go and preach the gospel. And I still don't feel comfortable being here, but nevertheless, I know that if I would do this every week, that the Lord would give me the grace to do it.
Amen.
I just want to read the first 9 verses of Genesis 16, but let's pray first. Dear Lord, we commit this evening into Your hands. I pray, Father, that You would give me the grace to speak that only comes from You. I pray, Father, that You would work in the lives of each one here, that Your will would be done in each one of us. Lord, if somebody is here that is not saved, I pray that Your will would be done in their lives, that they would commit their lives to Thee. And we pray, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters, that Your will would be done in their lives also, that You touch their hearts. And Lord, we just commit this evening into Your hands. Use my brothers and sisters that will be taking the pulpit after me. And we just pray that You'd be glorified tonight. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Genesis 16, beginning on verse 1. I put on my glasses. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her mate, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went on in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleases thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Chur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. You're probably wondering right now, how is this brother going to preach a message of evangelism where the message, what he talks about here, is a wife giving her husband a mate? And you would wonder, I say, well, how is this brother going to do it? I'm not. I'm not here to preach on Sarah. I don't want to tell you about her, but it just so happens that she's in this story. But I don't want to really comment on her giving her husband a mate. I find it too difficult. I can understand it. It's obvious, and it's sufficient for us just to know that Sarah made a mistake. She admitted it. But then she goes on and blames her husband. And of course, I don't want to speak about that either.
I don't want to talk about Abraham, why he went ahead and obeyed the command of his wife. But we can stand here and just have a show of hands and see who believes Sarah, it was her fault. And I'm sure the men will say, yeah, it was Sarah's fault. The women will say, no, it was Abraham. But we can even blame Hagar for that. We can even say, well, Hagar should have known better. She shouldn't have submitted to what Sarah had told her. She could have said, look, I'm happy being a mistress. I really don't care to be bosom buddies with Abraham. That's what it says on verse 5. On verse 5 it says, and Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. I put buddies up to bosom over here. Now, I just wanna make a few comments. And it's gonna be on verse 8 and 9. What I really wanna tell you is what the angel of the Lord said. That's what's important. The angel of the Lord, we find later on in the chapter that is really God that appeared to Hagar. But it's very important, and I've noticed that every time that God gives a command, we need to pay attention to that. Amen. But I've also found, reading the Bible, that every time that God is asking a question, it is also extremely important. All the questions that God is asking in the New Testament, I find tremendous importance to every question. So what I want to do tonight is just deal with the two questions on verse 8 and the command that God gives on verse 9. Amen. The first question, he says, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou? Now you know from the story that Hagar had gone through a lot of persecution. The Bible doesn't tell us. All it says is that Sarah's hand was upon Hagar very heavily. And I'm sure that she took off and went to the wilderness complaining and saying in herself, but I didn't do anything wrong. I was just a maid. I was doing my job. I obeyed all the way, even to when they told me that I ought to be Abraham's wife. I didn't refuse it. It wasn't my idea. It was Sarah. And Sarah is the one that should be here in the wilderness, not me. You know, and we see Hagar traveling, and we find her in the wilderness. And then God comes to her. And you know, I look at this story and I'm trying to find out, well, whose fault is it? But God is real good at questioning people. He knows how to go right to the heart. And the first thing that he says is Hagar, Sarah's maid. Now, why would God call her Sarah's maid? Whence camest thou? Then I begin to see, and I begin to just concentrate on this. How come Jesus is asking this? Didn't he know where she came from? The Lord knew everything. But he's trying to pry the heart. He's trying to dig out something deeper from the heart that we cannot see. All we see is a woman that's been persecuted, and she fled because of all the tribulation that she was going through. But God saw the heart. And what I see here is that there was pride in Hagar. She left. And God, what he's trying to do, he says, Hagar, Sarah's maid. He's trying to get her off her high horse. He's trying to get her to see that she's a nobody. She's just a servant. And you know, the reason I'm saying this is because something similar happened to me, which I'll explain later. But many times, we get offended and we think that it's always the other person. From the outside, we see all the circumstances and we say, yeah, I was offended. It's not my fault. Look at what she said or what he did. And we blame everybody else. But there's always another side to the story. As a cop, I went to thousands of family disturbances. And I found this out so early in life that I would go to a family disturbance and I would separate the two problems, most of the time, husband and wife. And I would question somebody first and I'd say, okay, what happened? And I would hear the story and it would convince me that the other person was real mean. Then I say, okay, now let me hear the other side, and I'd go and hear this side, and I say, man, no wonder you hit her, you know? There's only two sides to the story. And right here, we find a lady that feels very persecuted. She's out in the wilderness, but the Lord is dealing with her heart, is dealing with her pride. And you know, the Lord says, where camest thou? You know, this is something that you see in life. This is human nature. We forget where we came from. And this is something that I saw very early in life when I was in the army. You go through guys through boot camp, and then later on they begin to get rank, and you see them, and they're your friends and your drinking partners and what have you. The next thing you know, they have authority and they change overnight. All of a sudden, they feel like they've always had this rank, and they forget where they came from. Then I became a cop, and I went through the academy with some brothers, or some people rather, and as the years went by, some got promoted, and some got higher than others, and the next thing I know, the guys that were my friends and fishing partners, all of a sudden I say, hey, Frank, how's it going? It's not Frank to you, it's Lieutenant. And they forget where they came from. And that's the way we are by nature. We forget where we came from and we think we're somebody important. But that is the root. That is the root of pride. We think we're somebody. And the Lord is dealing with Hagar and he's trying to show her, where camest thou? It's good for us to remember also that we were lost at one time. You know, the apostle Paul tells the Ephesians, in chapter 2, let me just glance there real quickly. He says in chapter 2, he's telling them and he's reminding them that they were dead in trespasses and sins. In time past, they were also the children of disobedience. They were the children of wrath. He says, you were fulfilling the desires of the flesh. You were no different than anybody else. Amen. But we get saved and all of a sudden, we feel that we've always known the truth. And we can't understand why somebody else doesn't know it. We mock sometimes and look at, they're bowing down to idols. When you're lost, the reason you do it is because that's what you were taught. It's not because you're ignorant. But we get saved and all of a sudden we think we're somebody special. And yes, we are the children of the King. Amen. We're gonna go to heaven. We're saved. But it's all by grace. Amen. It's not because something that we did. But we lose track of that. And throughout the Bible, I see that we need to remember where we came from. And this is a lesson that we find in Genesis 16. The Lord is trying to show us this lesson so quickly in the Bible so that we would know that we will not forget where we came from. You know, God right away went to the pride. And of course we would read this verse and say, well, I don't see what she did wrong, but God knows the heart. And this is something that we all suffer. We're all very proudful. We're always pride, always full of pride, and that's why we get hurt. That's why people leave the church. I know a brother left one time because a song got called out. That was pride. He said he didn't feel that song should have been called out, and he left. And so many times, the reason we have strife and contentions is because of pride. The reason that the marriages are failing and we have so much problems is because of pride. Somebody is not submitting. You know, my wife I consider her very humble. And we get along so good because of her humbleness. Many times she'll make a mistake, she'll offend me for one reason or another, and she's very quick to come and tell me, honey, I'm sorry. And I'm so quick to accept it. But when I make a mistake and I offend her, I find it so hard for me to go and tell her I'm sorry. Of course, that happens only every 5 years, but nevertheless, I find it real hard. But you know, even though she's a humble lady, she still has a lot of pride. We all, even, it don't matter how humble you look and how meek, there's still pride in you. I was remembering the other day when I was going steady with my wife about 22, 23 years ago, and I had gone to go pick her up in Pleasanton, Texas. That's where she lived. And we were driving to San Antonio in my 19 throwaway Ford. My wife began to serenade me. And I don't know if you've ever paid attention to the way she sings. When she sings in a group here, in a crowd, you can't tell she don't know how to sing. She sounds real good. She goes with the flow real good. But put her alone. Well, we were alone. And she began to serenade me, and I wanted to laugh. I wanted to jump out of the car. But then I began to act real sarcastic. I said, honey, why don't you sing that song Far From Here? And she said, well, I don't think I know it, you know. And I said, you know, Far From Here. And finally she caught on and she got very offended. Very offended. And I was just telling her the other day, you know, I just remember, and I said, you know, hon, the reason you got so offended, you must have really thought you were a good singer. That's why we get offended. There's so much pride in us. We think we're so good. And the next thing you know, you get offended. But if you had really realized that you're no good, you're just a servant. You're a nobody. That's why the Lord tells Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou? You were nothing. And if we come to that realization, we won't get so offended.
Amen.
But the next question that the Lord puts on Hagar, he says, and whither will thou go? This is a question that a lot of the soul winners use a lot. I love to use this question. When I go door knocking, or after I finish preaching and there's somebody still standing that's real brave and wants to talk to us, I go and ask him, well, if you die tonight, where will you go? People don't know. This was asked a long time ago, and the Lord knows how to ask questions. I like to copy what the Lord asks. And he's asking, whither will thou go? I ask this question so many times, and I'll tell you right now, it's opened up a lot of doors for me. Because, you know, it gives me an opportunity to talk to people, and right away they say, well, I don't know. Some say heaven, some say hell, some say purgatory, and another big percentage, they really don't know. But then my next question, it just goes into witnessing. Well, what do you think you need to do to go to heaven? And this is a good question. And this is what Hagar is being asked. She's in the middle of the desert. She doesn't really know where she's going. She didn't get run away, but she ran, and all of a sudden she's in the middle of the wilderness. She doesn't know where to go. The next thing, my last point, is the Lord tells her, return to thy mistress and submit to her. You know, I'm a rookie missionary. I've been in the fields in September, and I've always been a go-getter. I've never been a bench warmer. I've always been a leader. I've always been in the front. I've always been in the lineup. It don't matter what it is. And as a cop, I was a leader. When I went to a crime scene, nobody told me what to do. I did everything. If a lieutenant or a captain would come, they would ask me. They would never tell me what to do. I knew my job. You get so used to in your job, in this life, of nobody telling you what to do. I went to the mission field. The next thing I know, I'm being told what to do. I resented it. I didn't like it. This caused a lot of problem for me. I didn't think there was any pride in me. I thought I was very meek. I thought I was very lovable. I thought I was that I wasn't proud. I was just like you. You don't think you're proud, but you are. The Lord began to deal with me right away on this issue. I was proud, but I didn't know it. I'm being told what to do, or my brothers that are in the mission field with me, they would discuss something, and just because they didn't include me, I didn't know what was going on, and I felt offended. I felt like, hey, I'm important. You ought to ask me for my opinion. I wasn't important, but I felt I was. And the devil began to work in me, and the next thing I know, I wanted to leave. I wanted to leave. Not the mission field. I didn't want to come back over here. I had gone over to be a missionary, but I wanted to take off and go somewhere else. I wanted to go work alone. And I would tell my wife, honey, we need to go. And she didn't want to go. My children didn't want to go. I felt so lonely. I felt like I was in the wilderness. I didn't know where to go. I had a lot of moments I was so down. I cried, and finally my wife said, honey, I'll follow you. My wife supports me all the time, 100%. But that time, she knew I shouldn't leave. I didn't know what was happening, but the Lord was dealing with my pride. We all think that we don't have no pride, but I had a lot of pride. I had a lot of pride in me. Finally, everybody knew I was leaving. Everybody was telling me, brother, don't go. Brother Dale would come and tell me, brother, don't go. All of them, everybody, brother, don't go. And I was so sad, I'm leaving. We're going to another city. I don't know where. I'll be working alone, and I really didn't want to go. I felt so bad. And finally, Brother Eddie and his wife came to my little trailer where me and my wife were. He said, brother, I want to talk to you. And everything was already settled. I was leaving. He came in and told me and said, brother, I want you to know that we always wanted you here. We love you, and I love you. And we always wanted you here, and I still don't want you to leave. I still don't want you to leave. But if you have to go, that's fine. But I want you to stay. It was right at that moment. I just thank the Lord for the grace that the Lord gave to Eddie to come and tell me those words. Because that's what opened up my heart, opened up my mind. Because right at that moment, I realized that it was my pride. I realized that all these years as a cop where I tell somebody what to do, all of a sudden, I realized, hey, I've been conditioned to be proud. All through life in the army, they teach you to be number one. Always in from Little League all the way on up, always proud. The Marines, you know, the few, the proud, the Marines. This is something that we find in everyday life. We are conditioned as little children to have pride. And then all of a sudden, God doesn't want you to have pride. Matter of fact, He tells you to be a servant. He wants you to submit. The Apostle Paul tells the Ephesians to submit one to another. This is something that we hate to do. But right when he told me that, the Lord, it seemed like a light just hit me. The Lord opened up my understanding, and I realized that it was all my fault. It was my pride. I wanted to not be told what to do. At that moment, I didn't want to go no more. I realized, hey, this is my place. I need to stay. I need to just obey what they tell me. And I'm nobody. I'm just here to serve. And that's exactly what the Lord is telling Hagar. He didn't explain to her anything. He didn't tell her, look, I know that you've been wronged. All you have to do now is just go on back and just tell Sarah this or that. No, he just said, just go back and submit. And this is something that when I read it later on, I realized, man, I went through the same thing Hagar did. I didn't go out into the wilderness physically, but in my mind, I was in the wilderness. And I realized I was proud just like her. And as soon as I realized and say, hey, I need to submit, I need to just be obedient, just be a servant, and everything began to go so good. There was a campaign coming up soon, and the Lord knew that with my pride, we couldn't do anything. The Lord resists the proud. He had to get rid of my pride before he would work in Lagos. I'm just so glad that he taught me that lesson so quickly. And this is something that we all need to learn. We all need to submit. The children need to submit to the parents. The wives need to submit to the husbands. The husbands need to submit to the Lord. This is the cause of so many problems. If we would just realize, hey, Trini, You, the nobody. Where'd you come from? I'm a nobody. And you're a nobody. And when we realize that, then the Lord can use us. Thank you very much. Yeah.